Welcome to Culture Matters, a podcast exploring the intersection of faith and culture. Hey guys, welcome to this episode. I'm excited for today. I've got my friend Tamarcus here.
What's going on? Hey buddy.
How are you doing? It's good to see you.
I know. Twice in 1 week even.
What are we talking about today?
One of my favorite things. Creativity. One of those things that can often feel, you know, in the church world, we love a creative, especially on the worship team. But sometimes outside of that, we're like, you know, what are we even doing with all that creativity?
It's kind of like you're saying that people don't have a lot of creativity for what creativity can look like.
Man, that was well said.
Is that it?
That was well said.
I do feel that. I feel like the way I've always thought about when someone says like, oh, you're creative, I immediately am like, oh, you mean I must be able to like make music, make art, something in that genre. And like there are a lot of ways.
Kind of like Andre 3000.
Yeah, maybe. Or I look artsy. Mm-hmm. I look like I could be in the band, whether or not I have any musical skill whatsoever. Yeah. When I hear creativity, I just think artistic creativity. Mm-hmm. But I do think, maybe to kick this off, there is a lot of room to open that box of creativity. Like that, what can fit in the box of creativity is maybe more creative than we are willing to be sometimes. So I was kind of, as I was preparing this, I was reading some different passages and trying to find like, okay, what does the Bible say about what we're made to do and all these things. And I did like this part. So Moses in Exodus, what chapter? Exodus 35. Mm-hmm. Moses is talking, it's verse 30, and he's talking to the Israelites.
For the
he's giving instructions. Yeah. Yep. And so we're getting into a big creative project here, a big group project to build the tabernacle. And so he's like, hey, look, the Lord has chosen us. He's filled us with the Spirit, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of skills. And he's listing all these things, artistic designs and gold and silver, bronze, cutting and setting stones, working with wood, engaging in all kinds of artistic crafts that he has given to do this work. And I just, yeah, it stuck out to me. One, that there was like some specifics, you know, but he's also saying there's all of them are skilled workers and designers. Like there's all kinds of things. It's almost kind of like, hey, I don't have time to list everything in detail, but there is a lot here. And we're about to do this thing and the Lord has given it to us. And so a couple of things, it's like, I heard this kind of recently, the gift is given by God. And so the gift doesn't really tell me anything about the person that has the gift. It tells me more about the God that gave it to him. Mm-hmm. And so if God created this beautiful world, so we'll take it back to Genesis 1, he made a beautiful world. He made it very intricately. I mean, literally, there's still people in space right now and they're looking at the earth and all the ways that the sky changes and the earth is rotating around the sun. I mean, it's really cool. Nature is cool. And you should just watch any nature documentary and be in awe and wonder for the things that God has made.
Facts.
And so anyway, that's my plug. But if God is creative and then he made us and then he gave us dominion over the world to be creative with it, then it's like, okay, so what is that? What are we supposed to do with that? That's my question.
Yeah.
How about that to start?
I think it's a good question. And I want to go back to the passage you mentioned in Exodus for a second, because I think there's something that begs us to kind of dig into as we consider what we're supposed to do with that. Mm-hmm. But he says in verse 31, maybe what I would expect him to say is like, I've given this person, you know, great skill to do X, Y, and Z. But he says a number of things before he gets to the skill part. He says in verse 31, he has filled him with God's Spirit, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in every kind of craft to design artistic works in gold, silver, bronze. And so obviously, like, there is skill and there's knowledge in the craft, but it's like the gift to be rooted in like God's giving of his Spirit, that there is a
there is
indeed a spiritual component to what God has enabled him to do and the purposes that he's allowed him to do that. And the reason I think that's important is we consider what to do with it. I think, you know, we joked in the intro of we have a uncreative definition of what creativity is. I think we also don't have a very creative understanding of what it's for.
There
and
you
like,
go.
and where it comes from to the point of the question. So it's like, if it is as those who have been created by God, who is himself creative, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, but I just, you know, I always think of, you know, G.K. Chesterton talks about like the world doesn't have to be the way that it, like, God didn't have to make roses smell good, or he didn't have to make them look beautiful, or like food didn't have to, it could have just been like, you know, you eat the slop, your body's filled, it operates. But it's like, you know, there's joy in it. And there's something about, you know, when we cook a fine meal that's reflective of the creator who made us to enjoy the food, you know, and there's levels to that in all sorts of things. And I think one of the most damaging and discouraging lies our culture has kind of given us to think about, you know, this whole world of creativity and whatever it might be, is it's not that important if you can't monetize it.
Yes.
It's not worth you investing time and effort in it.
Yeah.
If you're not going to monetize it, if you're not going to go viral, then it's a waste of time. And I think, you know, if we step back and look at some of the stuff we just gleaned in the scriptures, like, I think there's just more measures to what makes it valuable and what makes it worth our time and effort than how famous will it make us and how much money will it make us. I think there's ways in which what is being communicated about God, what is being communicated about, you know, just human condition, and then also How is it forming us when we participate in it, or when we enjoy these, when you sit down and you enjoy a good meal with good friends and the, you know, what happens around the table, or what happens when someone writes a beautiful song or creates a beautiful piece of art, or somebody develops a nice piece of architecture or designs a room a certain way, you know, you go down the list of ways people can be expressing creativity. The way a mother can form a, you know, experience for their children or activity. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many ways we can exercise the gift God has given us for the betterment of those around us. Mm-hmm. And that being something that comes with God's spirit and comes with wisdom from him, that God foresaw, like, hey, we're going to need X, Y, and Z out of you. And so then it becomes a stewardship that I actually get to exercise and invest in and enjoy the gifts God has given us.
Okay. Two anecdotes that I got when you were talking came to mind. I have a few people in my life that are my sourdough dealers. I don't make sourdough. I love to cook. I love to cook. If you know this about me, I love to cook. I love a good meal. A lot of people are like, wow, you get like really chefy in the kitchen. And I'm like, for me, it is a creative outlet, cooking. What is not a creative outlet is baking. I do not like to bake. I don't. I have like one cookie recipe I make every 3 years, and I don't touch the oven unless I'm roasting vegetables or reverse searing a steak. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyways, but I have some friends who really enjoy the process. And there's something really, it's fun to me to get to receive a loaf of bread that was made by someone I know. They, you know, they're not trying to go open a bakery. They're not trying to go and monetize this. This is just for them. And it's one of those things, if you know anything about sourdough, if you have a really healthy starter, you can have, it's like you have to make bread. It's one of those things you like make bread and then you kind of have to keep making bread. So a lot of times they're like, oh no, this is so much better. I'm baking two loaves anyway. I give my second loaf to you and I gladly receive it. So thank you. You know who you are. But it is not, like I said, it's not something that's like they're trying to sell to me or trying to like monetize. And they're, they're just doing it out of a joy of like enjoying that process. You know what I mean? And then the other one, and I don't think you'll mind me naming him, but Mark Sandu is a guy at our church, and he's a very good engineer. He works on huge, he runs his father's company now after his father passed, and he took that over, and he works on some huge, like, I don't even really, I'm like, you huge engineering projects. I mean, huge deals, big highways in the area. We live in a metroplex, you know, and he is an incredible piano player.
Yes.
And no one's paying him to play piano, but he does it so beautifully. He played last Easter a couple days ago. And I just thought, like, what a gift and talent. And it's not just like, oh, God gave you this beautiful gift and you get to use it. He also works at it. Like, I know this about him because when he's scheduled, he's like, hey, I just tried a new patch on my piano sound and sends it to me. And he's like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, you're spending a lot of time doing this thing and using your creativity to get better. There's like an act of discipline and practice and care and doing something as excellently as you can. There's like there's a sense of excellence to it. And that's not your job. Mm-hmm. It's not your job, and you're just doing it because it's fun and you like it, and yeah, you're good at it and you work hard at it. And I think those are just two examples of what you're saying. It's like, not everything is a monetized situation, and not everything is like, oh, this could be the rest of my life. I get to just do this one thing. Like, sometimes it's just nice to have things in your life that are enjoyable for just the sake of what they are, you know, like gardening. Like you said, creating projects for your kids to learn something, you know, finding ways to creatively like redesign your home. I have some friends who are so good at that, and their homes are just immaculate. And you're like, you could be an interior decorator. And it's like, well, I just like doing it for me. And that's beautiful. And I don't think our culture recognizes that at all anymore. And so I think that's a place that we can be a little more disruptive as Christians. To be like, hey, I know culture says that I need to like take this and make $1 million at it and be on TikTok, but I'm actually just doing it for the betterment of the people around me and my neighbor. And like, that's great. If I remember right, you love a slow morning, don't you?
I love a slow morning. I love being under blankets with a hot cup of coffee and a book.
Oh, yeah. You know, Cozy Earth is a sponsor. We've talked about them before.
Yes.
And I'm a big fan of like all of their stuff. The robe is so nice. I sent one to my mom. Did you send one to your mom?
I did.
She loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I got their jogger set and clogs. You need to get these for your friends and family because they're so wonderful. It feels like super soft material, comfy, but it's also like cute. The clogs too, they don't look like house slippers. Like they can be an everyday kind of casual wear. So on my slow mornings, which is my favorite, I'll just, you know, enjoy the coffee, enjoy the book. And then like I need to go run errands and I can just go in my jogger set.
That sounds amazing.
It's awesome.
This spring, give yourself the kind of comfort that lives with you all day. Head to CozyEarth.com and use the code CULTURE for an exclusive 20% off. And if you see a post-purchase survey, mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on Culture Matters.
There's a number of, like I say, thinking about the formation piece. There's a number of things that, you know, my wife will call me a serial hobbyist.
I love that about you.
I love a hobby. And I'm not ashamed of it. But I used to be. And part of the reason why is because, like I say, that stigma of like, oh, like that's such a waste of time. You know, it'd be like the thing you start telling somebody like, oh, you know, I picked up the bass and I'm trying to do it.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, oh, must be nice. Wish I had time to play the bass and do. And granted, is there like a balance of stuff? Sure. Take care of your responsibilities. And I am convinced, not everybody, but a lot of our culture, because we are so driven to consume, we're so driven to monetize, we're so driven towards busyness, we're so driven towards overextending ourselves. We don't have a lot of disciplines and a lot of categories for what it looks like to be apart from being productive. And not just when all of the work is done, because we all know the work is never all done.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you ever Sabbath? When do you ever rest? When do you get to, you know, so much for me, you know, I like to make music. And it's like so much of making music came about of like, man, I consume so much.
Yeah.
It's like I want an outlet where I get to produce something.
Produce.
And I get to make something and offer something. And not, like you said, not to monetize, but just one for myself. And then even if it's just for, you know, I think we lose sight of like little wins, I would call mm-hmm. it. I get to, you know, at my church, I get to help. Similar when I was at Citizens, we do memory verses. And so I get to make mm-hmm. little memory verse songs that accompany our verse each week. And, yeah. you know, the other day I'm doing, you know, bath time with my daughter and I'm walking by and I'm getting her clothes, whatever. And she's in the shower and she's singing one of the memory verse songs. And I'm just like, man, that's a win.
That's a huge win.
That's cooler than the Grammy to me. It's like hearing my 5-year-old daughter rehearse scripture in her heart, just mm-hmm. on her own, because it's in her brain. I think there are moments like that that we underestimate stuff and its impact on those around us. The second thing is I think we underestimate what we learn in those moments.
Yes.
And how they shape the way we experience and see God. And so another one of my hobbies is drawing.
Yeah, what's the latest? What's the latest hobby?
I've kind of lately been sticking to music and drawing. Those have been the
music and drawing.
I feel like a lot of like lessons and things come up for me when I'm drawing, and I'm not mm-hmm. getting into it trying to like figure out. It's like I'm just trying to learn how to, you know, draw a face or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And I remember realizing like, oh, you know, when people draw, people who are really good at it, they have a sense of like where the drawing is going to go. And they know that it's going to look ugly for a long time before it looks better. And so they'll draw lines that don't even seem like it makes sense. And then it'll come together. But then the other person who doesn't know where they're going as much, we really want it to look pretty fast. And so you start trying to draw details too fast and, you know, you get, and it's like, oh, like, man, what if like God is so much in the business of like, he knows where he's going in the final product of our lives and in our sanctification. And mm-hmm. there are moments in our lives where it's like, man, things don't, it ain't lining up. It doesn't make sense. I wouldn't have put a line right there, God. Like, why'd you do that? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, like I'm weaving together this thing. And like, I know where it's going. And like this, I know this line doesn't make sense. But like, in just a little bit, when I, you know, I'm going to push the darks and the lights a little bit and get everything structured, then all of a sudden you start to see where things are culminating. That's like a thing. But in my mind, it's like, oh, that helps. Like that visual, because of just the way God has wired me. It just helps me like hold on to certain things or ideas in a way that it's just like, oh, I never would have thought of it in this way had I not mm-hmm. been. And I think that those kinds of moments arise a lot in play.
Yes.
I think it does it a lot for kids. I think we grow out of that. And I don't know if we do. I think we lose appreciation for it.
Yeah.
But I think adults are just big kids who still, we still need that like, explorative curiosity.
Right. Thank you for saying that. I think that's actually a really huge piece, is the aspect of work and play. And this is, I probably talk about this show every other episode I'm on for Culture Matters, but I'm always feel like I'm like, I love that they put this part in The Chosen, but they show Jesus playing games with his friends. And it's like, that's not in the Bible. And some people will probably make that argument and be like, well, it's not written down. And you're like, yeah, no, there's a lot of things not written down. There's actually like parts of the Bible where, you know, Paul and John are like, we couldn't write it all down. If we did, it would take forever, you know? And so this is what we've written down and this is what you get. And I just, it's one of my favorite things when they show Jesus just like playing, kicking a ball around and like doing little games, because I'm sure he did, because he was human. And to be fully human means you're going to play. So I love that detail. Another thing I really love about that show is like the way that they, you know, kind of flesh out the characters of like Matthew, John. I guess we haven't met John yet. Anyway, but they kind of flesh out these people that you know from the Bible. Because when you read the Gospels, they read differently, even though there's different facts. And you read like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you're like, these are all, they're telling the same story, but there is like nuances to them because they're different people. And so Matthew writes differently than John writes, and John writes differently than Paul writes. And even that is like a picture of what it could look like to be creative, like to express the same thing in a slightly different way. And sometimes there's passages that I prefer the John version because it reads easier to me. You know, it's like just a total preference, but maybe there's something else where I'm like, what I like the genealogy in Matthew, like that's helpful for different reasons. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's like, there's not an explicit thing that says people need to be creative, but there is a lot of things that point to how creative humans are throughout scripture, implicitly and explicitly. And so I think that that's worth noting, you know?
Yes. And I would go so far as to say there is, I mean, you can at least make the case, if not like a need to be creative, but by design, we are creative. I mean, you go back to Genesis, the call to cultivate the earth and subdue it we're participating in creation with God. And I think that's where you got to like expand the definition beyond just kind of the arts, so to speak. There's so many different ways that people can express it. I think part of the emphasis that you've been, you know, we've been kind of outlining here is broadening that thought of where we typically want to put it in a box of just, you know, a person who can do X, Y, and Z and can do it at a level that, you know, will bring them, you know, fame or wealth. One of the pieces I know we talked about before, I would love to circle to is being able to do something like not just because you're the best at it too. There's something to be said about being given a gift in, you know, New Testament. Mm-hmm. We've been given various kinds of gifts, but we also been given gifts to various degrees, right? And so not everybody is going to be, you know, a Grammy Award winning, you know, piano, whatever. But that doesn't mean you can't play the piano well. And it also doesn't mean that you shouldn't invest time in it because, you know, you're not going to be.
Well, I think sometimes we don't have a lot of perseverance to see what discipline can do. Like I think you said this earlier. It's like we will start something, but I'm not good at it. And we kind of quit. We're kind of quitters at nature. And I'm guilty of that. I've totally been like, I'm just not good at this. And so I don't know. But there is something to be said for like giving something enough time to go somewhere. And I think this applies to a lot of things. I mean, we have a really robust training department thanks to one and only Taryn Mays at Citizens Church. And so she's really good about this. There's a longevity to like, we want you to come and take Bible class and it's going to be kind of hard. And you're like, this homework's a lot and I don't know how to answer these questions. And you're supposed to just push through that because after a semester or two semesters or three semesters, you start to see, you're like, wait, I remember reading this in the class two years ago. And then you're starting to like pick up your Bible and it's a way of taking a slow route to knowing your scripture and to like getting to know God more. And you, in the process of the class, you learn something about God. You learn about the character of God through the work of it. And I think that can be applied to just about maybe everything. Like in the process of your job, even if your job is not spiritual at all, which we had an episode a couple episodes ago with Jonathan Pennington. I'm going to point back to that because they have a really good conversation about like, how do we think about work? And as Christians, how do we think about work? And they do address like, okay, so if I'm not in vocational ministry, does my work matter? And one of the points is that like, sometimes it's just doing something as excellently as you can, even that is glorifying to God. You know, there's a way of thinking about that, even with what I'm being creative with. And so maybe you're working in a job where you work with spreadsheets all day, but you're really creative with Excel, and you can plug some great little macros in there and some equations and stuff in a way that nobody else can. And so that's how you're creative. And then, you know, someone else could be like me. I'll use me for example. I love cooking in the kitchen. I get really creative in there. I love like, I do like a pantry pasta. I call it pantry pasta. And it's just kind of like, what do I have in my pantry? And can I make something yummy? And I, you know, I'm usually pretty pleased with it. Sometimes I'm like, okay, less garlic, you know, got it. But even that, I've kind of learned enough to go, okay, how do I fix it? If I made it too spicy, what do I need to add? If I made it too salty, what do I need to do? So even that is like another way to be creative. And it's just me exercising that like learning muscle. And I think that's important to do in little things that I'm going to say air quotes don't matter. You know, what I'm eating for dinner is not a huge thing in the scheme of kingdom work, but what it's doing is exercising the muscle of how do I move forward? Because then at my job, when I do something and I'm like, oh no, I did something bad. How do I correct it? I've learned how to be creative in the kitchen with how I make my lunch. And that creativity is helping me now at my job, or it's helping me in a relationship when I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, oh man, I know I need to apologize to you and I need to work through some conflict, and how can I be creative in working through that conflict? So I think there's something to be learned from a human standpoint in all activities. Does that make sense?
100%. And that's where I was going to pick up where you just left off, because I think you're hitting on something that's really good, especially as we're thinking about like the formation piece. And it's that we're like, we aren't souls that like drag around a body. We're not a body that's like stuffed with like some spiritual stuff. We are an embodied soul. It is interwoven. That is what it means to be human, is to be a embodied soul that has been given a gift of life from God. And all of that is intertwined in how we operate. It's often why, and you know, most people, rather it's, I hear it a lot when people are, you know, do fitness stuff, that it's like, man, I find that when I'm like in lock and step with my fitness routine, like I eat better, my sleep schedule's better, I'm more productive at work, I feel more energized, I'm more consistent in my devotions, I'm more, and it's like, it's not because there's some secret magic in working out, but for them, there is a level of like, this is something that like when I'm disciplined in this area of my life, it bleeds into discipline in other areas of my life.
Yes.
And I almost can track when I start to see these other things fold. It's like, oh, I also haven't been in the gym in a couple weeks. And I actually just recently did a training with some other pastors. It was really cool. But we basically just assessed like, you know, kind of our mental well-being, physical well-being, spiritual well-being. When those things are in a good space, like what kinds of things are we doing? How much time are we spending with family? You know, are we reading? Maybe it's being outside. Maybe you're, I don't know, a gamer or whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, when these things in my life are going this way and I'm in my word and I'm attending church, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Across the board, though, I find myself in this healthier space. When I'm not in the gym, if I'm not getting time, you know, I got to, you know, have a mentor. And like when we're missing that time or when I'm not doing this, I start to notice these different things also get out of whack. And, you know, we just made note of that, of like, OK, so how do we intentionally make sure the things that keep us in a healthy spot across the board, drinking enough water?
Yeah.
Right. I know we're talking about creative, drinking enough water, that get creative. You need, for me, I know I'm like, I don't really enjoy drinking water. But the click that an Owala makes when you press the button on the front is satisfying to me. I drink more water when I have my Owala.
Because you have to open that bottle.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I got an Owala and I drink more water, and that's good for me. So it's, you know, it's what are things that help me click? And then the other thing is that then becomes where, you know, when we talk about the need for these different things, is it's not just a matter of, you know, oh, this is something that I'm just naturally capable of or good at, whatever. But it's like, man, it becomes worth the investment, because your spiritual well-being and what you're able to offer to those around you is worth the investment. And this is why I say, like, I think as a culture that's so caught up being productive, you know, I've got to see this kind of be a reality in some people's lives, where they're like, man, I took you up on that. Like, I tried to, you know, something that they enjoyed, that they kind of walked away from, and they came back to, and they just were kind of intentional about making time for it. And it was like, man, I was so much more productive when it was time to work, you know, after, you know, doing X, Y, and Z than I was. And I was like, yeah, because you're only going to get so much productivity out of your brain and your body. Like, we're finite creatures.
Yeah.
Your output is only so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at some point you've got to rest. You've got to give some time to recoup. And it's like those moments of figuring out what that thing is. Sometimes it's not a matter. Sometimes you don't need to quit and get a new job. You just need you need a solid day off, and you need to hang out with your friends.
You need
and
to use that PTO Monopoly that's just adding up.
That's just sitting
and
there.
You need to go and have some fun. Go play. Yeah. Yeah. It's real life. It's like sometimes too, you know, we can swing far into the thing where we're chasing, and it's like, oh, I'm, what you don't need to do is stay up till 4 a.m. doing that thing you really love to do too, you know, because it's like there is always give and take. I think there's a way of commodifying, may or may not be a word, our gifts and talents and things in a way that we've been talking about. Like, you've monetized it, you've turned into a thing, you've made it this thing that's like, I have to do this in order for me to have this type of life. And then there's a way that you can under commodify it and sort of forget like your limitations, you know, like, hey, maybe you don't have time to spend 12 hours a week on that hobby, even if you love it. Maybe you really only have the, you know, maybe you've got things in your life you really do need to like focus on. So I think there's like an obvious answer here is, how do we find discernment for all of this? Like, what are some practical ways, you know, because that passage that we pointed out in Exodus, that, you know, he filled them with the Spirit, God filled them with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge, with all kinds of skills before they went and made the creative temple. They built the tabernacle. But it's like, yeah. So what kind of baseline discernment do we need to try and find? And how do we build that?
I think there's a couple things to discern. The first one that honestly comes to mind, you know, going back to the Exodus passage, because I think about this particularly when it comes to the monetizing of whatever the gift is. And when I speak of monetizing, I want to, like, I keep coupling it with this, like, needing a stage or needing like a platform. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yes.
Needing a platform for
that's
the thing.
That's good.
So, you know, Oliab, you know, and those guys, like, they're shouted out in Exodus. It's like, they're the best. Bring them to build the tabernacle. There were other people in Israel who also liked to cut stones and
yeah.
cut claws. And they didn't get invited to build
God the picked
cabinet.
Certain people.
He picked yeah. certain people got more of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember the days when I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to go to the NBA. That's my plan A. It's my plan B. And then I came back after one
That's
summer in
future.
High school, and I was mm-hmm. still 5'10", and a bunch of other guys were 6'5", and could dunk. And I was like, God gave them more. And that's okay.
Like more height. He gave them more height.
He gave, yeah, more height, more speed, more strength.
Yeah.
They had more. I was going to the gym. I was working out. I've been playing for a long
time. You worked
they
hard.
Got,
yeah.
They got more than me. And that, mm-hmm. I wasn't going to monetize that. But I could still enjoy mm-hmm. it. And I still
there
do, right? And I mean, and I say that jokingly, but I think it's important in having right expectations and discernment of like, it's okay if you're not the professional at the thing.
Yes.
It is perfectly fine to enjoy a thing.
Yeah.
And not, like I say, not be the best at it and not have to have a platform for it. There are other ways to mm-hmm. enjoy it and to navigate that where it still be a blessing mm-hmm. to you and to those around you. That's one thing. I think the other discerning piece to your point of like the time management is being a, like stewarding it accordingly with the various seasons that you're in, right? And so
mm-hmm.
there might be a season of life where it's like, yeah, you're working full time, you're in school, you're doing it. I mean, I'm a perfect example. I, you know, started school a few months ago. Had this great ambition of like, man, I'm gonna draw a portrait every day for the whole year. And it was going great. And then school started and then that stopped. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Cause I got other priorities. I'm working, I got school, I got family, all the things. And so it's like obviously you want that to be in you're not gonna be able to do the thing the same mm-hmm. way somebody who does it as a career is gonna do mm-hmm. the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay as well. It's not a part of it is having realistic expectations. And so for me, I'm like, you know what? I probably realistically have, you know, an hour. So I'll give you a great example. I remember because my son loves golf and I was listening to this podcast because I'm, you know, trying to be a good dad and help him with things I don't know as much about. But I'm listening to this golf podcast and this guy gave this great point, and I think it should be applied to all sorts of things in this vein. But he trains people in playing golf, and he said, you know, one of the things that I often will sit down with somebody before we get into any session is like, you know, what are the hours like for work? Do you have a family? What's that schedule like? What are your kids' schedule like? Are they in extracurriculars? Are you in school? Do you have this? Do you have that? Because the first thing I want to really get them to understand is based on how much time you have to give to this is going to, and like when I say how much time you have, it's not like how much you want to give, but like what can you give?
Can give.
Where your life is going to be in order.
Yeah.
And then based on what you can give, I can tell you, well, in this amount of time, you can expect to be this kind of golfer. And that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, I think there's a principle in that, you know, across the board of like, all right, hey, you know what? You're going to take up, you know, playing the saxophone. All right. You got this much time to give to it. You're probably going to be this kind of, you know. Are you going to go on tour? Probably, maybe, probably not. That's okay. Have good expectations. Set those parameters. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then stick to that. And then I think always having community that can help you exercise wisdom to be able to point out like, hey, you slipping over here. I think you're doing too much of that. Or like, hey, I don't think you're ready for that. Or you might have the inverse, and I've seen that in several people where it's like, hey, you're actually underutilizing this thing that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people be called up to the more. And so I think that's where, always having wise counsel mm-hmm. and people who are able to look into and speak into your life is really, really helpful in that way.
Huge. I'm glad you said that because I was going to add that if you didn't. Yeah, I think if you're trying to do it all, you're operating from an unhealthy heart. If you are trying to do it alone, you're operating from an unhealthy heart. And so yeah, I think adding to an already busy schedule doesn't make sense, and not inviting people into what you're wanting to do or hoping to do is just, it's a recipe for burnout, you know? Cause I think you can burn out even in like fun things. This is going on like almost a decade ago, but I did this bike across Iowa thing. It's called Ragbri, and I did it with a friend, and we decided to do it in January. The ride is in July. At that point in time, I probably could ride 5 miles before my butt hurt, and on a bicycle before my butt hurt, and I was tired and I was hungry. And we started this like cycling plan to get up to, because you need to be able to ride like 70 to 80 miles a day for 7 days straight to ride across Iowa. And so the plan started where it was like twice a week, 10 mile ride, and then it would incrementally get more. And then on Saturday, so I think at the last point it was like training for a marathon or something, but just we were on a bike. And so at the last point, it was like I was riding probably 2 30-mile rides on Tuesday and Thursday, and then riding 40 miles on Saturday, 50 on Sunday, or something like that. So what's the math? That's like 100-something miles in a week. It was hours of my time. And we did it, and it was great, and it was so fun. And I thought, like, I'm going to come home, and I'm going to be such a cyclist. I'm going to do this forever. And the reality was, it was like, I just didn't have that kind of time. I had it for those, like, 6 months, but I couldn't maintain the, like, 15 hours a week of cycling that I was doing. And so it just became very, it was like, I'd go for a couple hours, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And of course, I didn't stay in the same shape and I couldn't ride as far, but that was just sort of a hobby. And it's one that I still enjoy occasionally, is going on a bike ride. But yeah, just to reiterate the point, to kind of drive in even more with like an example, is just to say that worked for a time, but it didn't work sustainably for me in my life, you know?
Seasons change, mm-hmm. and you can change with them. It's like, I remember before having kids, the days of going and sitting in a coffee shop and just reading a book all day.
Yeah.
And I was going through my book list left and right, and it was, oh. And the reality is, like, I don't have a whole lot of time to do that like I used to do it. And so, you know, before I would have scoffed at an audiobook, but now audiobooks have become my favorite thing. It's like, I'll sit at, you know, I'll
you
do
can get through some books.
I'll do dishes. Audio. Yeah. I'm like, I'm doing dishes. Mm-hmm. I'm doing household chores. I'm cutting the grass. I'm listening to, you know, a couple. I've already made it through like 3 full books, you know, this year from audiobooks mm-hmm. alone. And I'm mm-hmm. like, man, like that's a super, super helpful thing. And so I think so maybe good. For someone who's listening and they're trying to, because I know there is a luxury sometimes, depending on what someone has to do for work or even what that schedule looks like. Mm-hmm. Of how they're, you know, my wife, for example, works nights. And so mm-hmm. what her leisure looks like, or what she does, you know, to express creativity or for enjoyment and rest, looks different than it does for me. And I think that kind of thing goes to like a reimagining. I would say the emphasis that I would stand on is we are finite.
Mm.
There's only so much productivity
mm-hmm.
you can give mm-hmm. before it becomes, you know, unhealthy. And I think having part of what any of this, I mean, does in our person, in our being, is give us a means and a way to slow down and to observe and consider. And like, I think all of, you know, I think back all this stuff we're talking about, lessons learned and, you know, nuggets we walked away with, or even just enjoyment and memories that we have. It's like, it was, those things were made possible because we were in a space
mm-hmm.
to receive and consider. You know, it wasn't until I started trying to paint a landscape that I realized, like, man, God, like, refreshes the sky every day. Mm-hmm. In like new grand ways. And like, it became this moment of worship, and that could feel small, but it's like, man, I think that pays dividends. It wasn't until, you know, I started, you know, talking to, I was talking to a friend about, you know, how do you start when you're sitting down to paint a landscape or whatever the case may be. Shout out to Don Baker Waters. It's been on the show before. But she made mention, she was like, you know, you always start, always try to find the darkest dark in the lightest light. And that gives me, my eyes an anchor. And then as I kind of figure that out and I get those main pieces in, then I can get into the more detailed, more kind of like daunting pieces. And I remember sitting there thinking like, man, like that's such a great picture for thinking about when we're approaching life. And we had these
moments. There's an application there, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like things are so confusing and overwhelming and there's a lot going on. And it's like, okay, where can I just like anchor myself in what's most clear? The darkest dark, the lightest light. And work my way from there, bite side. And, you know, it just, I go on and on. But like these random moments I know in my life and in other people's life, it's like you miss that if we're moving too fast. If we're always going from the next task to the other, and we never take time to stop and hear, like, what is God trying to say? What is God doing? How is my heart? Yeah. Why am I anxious? It's like all of those questions. I saw this video, like, all of those things, our body only has space to think about when we're in a place of boredom, where our imagination is able to open up and be lifted.
Yeah, you learn something in boredom for sure.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of us, I would argue some of, like you said, some of us is like, we're a little too bored. We need some work. We got idle hands. We got to pick up the plow. I would say most of us, most people that I encounter in our culture is like, we have a problem with productivity. We don't know how, we don't know how to stop. We don't know how to put it down. We don't know how to contemplate and wrestle with what's going on in our thoughts and in our heart.
Yeah.
And these kinds of things create space for us to do that.
Yes. If I can just maybe close to say this, like if you've been like, I kind of want to start that thing, but I'm not going to be as good as so-and-so, my encouragement would be maybe go try and start it. I'm saying give it a year. I'm not saying give it a couple weeks. Give it some time. Try it, because you'd be surprised what you can do with some time. And then the other thing I would say, if you're just like, you know, feeling kind of burnout and stuff, I'd say, hey, invite your community into that. Talk about that. Talk to a friend, a good trusted someone who can speak into your life, not just someone who's going to tell you what you want to hear, and sort of reassess, am I doing too much? You know, do I need to let something go to make room? Because what's true is you cannot do everything well. You know, you can try and do a lot of things not very well, or you could try and do a few things well. And I think that's where God actually wants us to be, is recognizing our limitations and get creative with all of that, because it doesn't mean you have to go and paint. It means you could do a lot of things. There's so many things you could do. Gardening, home improvement. I was going to say, I know a guy who, like, he goes and watches YouTube videos and then figures out how to fix it. And that's creative. When his dishwasher breaks, he spends weeks fixing it. And that's beautiful. I think that's showing creativity for something very practical. So money. And saving money, you know? But he just enjoys the process. He's mechanically minded. This was great.
Absolutely.
I love having these conversations with you. And I love seeing the drawings that you do and the music you make in those creative ways.
Appreciate it.
But yeah. Thank you guys for listening. This episode is produced by Chelsea Conway, that's me, with editing and support from The Good Podcast Company. And as always, check the show notes for resources and ways to connect with us.